I'd like to talk today on faith, and we're calling this teaching, Faith Must Be Rooted. Faith must be rooted. I think sometimes we tend to forget that our faith has to be rooted and grounded, like, of course, anything. And all of this is a process. It takes time. But I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7, of which it says here, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So the apostle says here, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him." So it's in him that our faith is rooted. It's not in an idea of him or what we think he might be. No, it is rooted in him. And that, of course, is why it is so essential that we receive the new birth, that we are truly born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. Because he goes on to say, rooted and built up in him, again, Jesus Christ, established in the faith, because our faith believes in him, as you have been taught, which is exactly what we are doing. We are being taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we thank God for what he's done and what he's doing. That thanksgiving is always on our hearts, on our lips, because we know that money can't buy this. Our redemption, our salvation is priceless. It's a treasure that is of the greatest value in eternity. And so we have so much to be thankful. And this, of course, is why we're calling our teaching, Faith Must Be Rooted. It's interesting, isn't it, that survival of a tree is its roots. All the trees that you see, all that is on our journey, whether it be in our gardens, wherever they are, and we have a huge amount of trees in this country, but a tree is because of its roots. And the reason being is that they are exposed to the elements of the world. They're exposed to seasons, four seasons, and so they need to have good rooting. Same with a house that's built. It stands on the fact of its foundation. The foundations have to be secure in which a house can be built upon. And so faith has its roots if we are to endure and stand. And so that's why we make so much about our teaching on faith, because it's about your roots going deep so that you can stand, you can endure, you can go through the trials and the testings and still stand firm. The same as with nature, with trees, particularly when they're exposed to very high winds and gales. Those trees that you see come down in severe gales, they come down because the root system is not so good. That's an indication when they fall over. And so it's the same with us. And so God is going to get our roots to go very, very deep. And where are our roots found? Not in ourselves, not in our own attempt, but it's found in Jesus Christ himself. That's where it's found. And so firstly, we see then in all of this that we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So if you are totally dependent just on your church or FGA, you've missed it. And if your faith is simply in a fellowship, in a church, then your roots do not go deep enough. If you think by coming just to the meetings, you've missed it. You see, your fellowship, your standing is with God and Him alone. Our fellowship, our loyalty to this assembly and to the Word is a result of our salvation and commitment and relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, this meeting is an expression of our love for Him, being rooted in Him. That's how it's to be. But if you start to depend and put the assembly or the pastor or whoever you're looking to and putting your roots in that, it will not last. It will fall. And sadly, a lot of professing believers fall by the wayside. I think some who used to follow us years ago, their roots were not fully in Christ. And so when we find ourselves, our roots are in Him, then we have that complete rounded fellowship with God and with each other, you see. God is in many ways very practical. He's a God that makes us balanced in this walk and in relationships if we are rooted in Him. And all of this, of course, is directed from the throne of God. God directs all of this. He gives His angels charge over this. He goes before, He prepares the word that we should hear so that it's all establishing us, having our faith rooted in Him. What does it say in 1 John 14? 1 John 14, verses 15 to 18. Let's read those first. 15 to 18 of John 14. And he says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Wonderful words of comfort, are they not? When you read such scriptures like that, that he says, "I will come to you, I will not leave you as orphans." And he goes on with this. "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. All that day you will know that I am the Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And Judas Iscariot said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the world The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And then he goes on in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. So all of that is your root of faith in him. And so when you read that, and you read that again, you will be able to identify with that. I am rooted in that. In those wonderful words which the Lord comforts us with, where he says, I'm going to go, but I will return. He's not going to leave us comfortless, but he's going to work with us. He doesn't leave us to just get on our own. Far from it. He is observant over us 24/7. We are never out of his sight. Working he is with us to keep us rooted in him and him alone. Well, another thing to think about, and that is that if you have fellowship with the Father, you have fellowship with the brethren. And that's what it's all about. There are a lot of Christians who love the Lord, but are not very good with fellowship. I know that because I've seen that so often when I'm online and I read comments, and you'll be amazed how many there are that say, oh, I can get on with the Lord without going to church. I can't find a church. I didn't get on with the last one. I fell out with the pastor, but it doesn't matter. I'm in fellowship with God. That is so common. It's because they're not willing to take up their cross and die daily so that unity and oneness can be built. And they fail to see other scriptures, forsake not the assembling of the saints untogether unto him. No, if we're rooted in Christ, we're going to be rooted together in fellowship, and the Lord is going to do it. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22? Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. And he says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Notice how God builds it all so that he dwells among us. That is what it's all about. That's why we're saved. That's why we're left here in this world, so that God can dwell and tabernacle with his people, and that we can with each other. And that's why when we come in true unity and fellowship and oneness, God dwells with us. He inhabits the praises of his people. And this is why I believe he blesses us so much with his word, his presence. And that's why we're grounded, we're rooted together in the faith. And it always requires the headship of Christ. And we know that this is the least understood in a lot of Christendom, because so much of man is head and not Christ. They're not touched by the Spirit. They don't know that true fellowship with Christ and each other. But you do in FGA. And that's why God's house is a house of encouragement. It's a house of sharing. To many believers who are outside, they're on a loose limb. Many of them sadly have had bad experiences, or being caught up in cults or heresy or compromise. But the Holy Spirit will bring his chosen together. And that's why we still believe for a few prodigals to come back. Because I know there's nowhere else they can go. And that is why we come together in fellowship like we're doing this evening. Why? Because faith has to be rooted. And because it's rooted, like often trees in forests, you have trees that grow together. It's not just one singular one, they're often together, rooted together. And so how much more we, who are rooted together in Christ, coming together in true unity, fellowship and oneness. It's a powerhouse when that happens. And another thing to consider, we have to consider the fact that sin, the fall, has hindered our ability to believe. And that's why we're being restored back under apostolic faith, to believe. That's why we hold to the latter rain, that in the last days I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, as Joel says. All of that is to bring us back again, to be rooted together in true fellowship, unity and oneness. That's why it's a time of restoration. We're being restored back to faith, to believing and walking by faith, trusting in the promises of God's word, confessing a good confession, not confessing the negative, but the positive and what God says in his word. This is why we make so much of the promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1:20. All those promises are yes, amen. All of them that are given to us and so are being rooted together in faith is of great importance and help. I mean, it really is. And so we're experiencing this latter rain of being restored, being brought back. And one of the things I love about this restoration is that God is showing us always a bigger picture. As we embrace the kingdom of God, his righteousness, he's showing us how big his kingdom is. And you can only really begin to appreciate the bigness of God's kingdom is when you deal with your own kingdom and you go to the cross. Because then the cross that we take up daily and follow begins to release you and it begins to open you up, begin to see how great, how big this all is. So many Christians have such narrow-minded, bigoted views. And that's what God's delivering us from. But it only comes again when being rooted, grounded in the faith. I'm also a great believer that when we're rooted and grounded in the faith, this is what moves us beyond the self-life, which is what we have taught for years and years in this assembly, how that the self-life is crucified with Christ, in order for the life of Christ to manifest in us. It's only the self-life or the selfish life that still wants to raise its ugly head that hinders our faith, our relationship with God. But you see, if you're seeing the bigger picture, which you should be, then you know what to do. You know what you're confessing, you're praying about. Because faith has to experience the Father's heart. That is what the deeper life is about. That is how the first fruits, the overcomers, make themselves ready. The five wise virgins have that extra oil in their vessel because they have experienced the Father's heart. They've heard the secret voice that not all hear. Did you know that God doesn't always speak the same to everyone or even a church? Did you know there are things he can withhold or hold back because they're not ready for it? They can't hear it yet? It's true. But you are hearing very much the Father's heart and have been for many years. That is why God is looking to this body. He's looking for this perfection. He's looking for this, our faith, to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ so that it stands against the storms and the buffeting and the enemy's attack and so on. Because outside, the world just believes its lies, its deception. And that's why we see so much utter confusion. They're blind leaders of the blind, but not of us. We know where we're going. We know where we're destined for. And that's what's so wonderful about this. We know this because Romans 12 verse 2 tells us. We know this, of course, very well. But let's just remind ourselves of this in light of what we're talking about, our faith being rooted, grounded. As he says in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we see very clearly that there is the perfect will of God. You can't grow if you just live in the permissive will of God, which a lot of Christians sadly do. No, he says the perfect will of God. And in order to know that, you've got to be conformed. And do not be conformed to the world. In other words, you make a choice. Don't go along with it. Don't believe its lies, its deceptions. Come out from among it. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind can't be transformed and changed if you're still in the world. And you love the world and live like the world and act like the world and do what the world does. You can't have a mind that's been transformed. It's impossible. And maybe that's some reasons why you're still not getting that deliverance in the mind, closing those doors. Because you're still at times one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. And it can't be. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's been proved, it's been tried, it's been tested. In other words, my faith, I'm persuaded with the perfect will of God. I'm persuaded that this is God's will. I'm persuaded, influenced, that this is what God wants of me. No doubt in that. No hesitation. You're walking by faith, just like Christ did and the early Christians. And that's what he's working with us, in which to walk that way. What does Ephesians 4 say to us? Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. 22 to 24 of Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So he says, it's like a cloak, you put it on and it remains on. So you put off the former things. Sometimes you have to determine, no, I don't go that way. I'm not going the old paths anymore. Because it's corrupt, it's deceitful, it's lusts. But he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is why he works with the mind and the heart, so that we're grounded, we're rooted, you see. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, which is Jesus Christ. He's the one whom we put on, the second Adam. We're found in him. And so we put off those things you rely on. Some of those things can be quite habitual. Habits. And God says they have to go. They have to die. We walk now by faith in the Spirit, you see. It's Romans 8 every time. And this is what God is requiring of us. He's bringing us into this walk of walking in the Spirit, as we read in Romans 8. That is maturity. That is sonship. And look what is contained in Romans 8. No condemnation. You walk now by the Spirit. You pray by the Spirit. You see in Romans 8, where God is going to use those who have come to that place of maturity in the faith to release groaning creation. For the creation, we're told, groans, travails, waiting, ready to be released. The curse to be lifted, to bring back paradise on this earth, and the coming of Christ and his kingdom, his government. The nations groan under it all. Are we not seeing that? All these feeble attempts, trying to make everything better, doesn't. It's just getting worse. And they throw billions and billions at these new ideas, new inventions, only to find that groaning creation is groaning. It's had enough. It's realizing that man doesn't have the answer, only Jesus Christ. And some, of course, see that, and some don't. But you see it, and blessed are your eyes. And so we've learned today, have we not, that our faith must be rooted and grounded in him. And roots grow. They never remain where they are. Roots are continually moving around underneath, searching, looking for water, food, to nourish, to sustain. And roots also give out other roots as well, as they penetrate. Because it's not only giving life to that tree, but it's also sustaining it and helping it to remain resolute when the trials and the storms and all that it's exposed to. I think trees are a very good analogy of our faith, which must be rooted. And that's what he's doing with us. And that's why We keep coming, we keep listening, we get the word within us because that's what it's doing. It's getting me to be rooted and grounded in the faith. And how does it happen? It happens by Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word. And we keep hearing because our minds are being worked upon. That is why God wants to close these doors of unbelief, the negative, fear, doubt, and everything, so that you can hear. For what? Your faith. So that you act your faith. You believe, you see. That's why the enemy attacks the mind. That is why he wants to keep doors to your mind open, because that holds you in unbelief, doubt, confusion. But you see, the Spirit of God, he's working on us. As our faith is being rooted in him, so the deliverance is taking place over the mind in order for us to close those doors for the purpose of experiencing God's word, God's blessings, so that you can start even in this life to receive your inheritance. That's how God is working with us now. This is why we're growing up into sonship. We have a most fantastic future ahead of us. The greatest future that can ever be given to human beings. I don't think sometimes we're fully aware of that or appreciate that, what we're destined for, our future, our eternity. And that's why we look away from this world and look up as our redemption draws nigh. There we are, brothers and sisters. Faith must be rooted.